Cavalier fans, it is Bob Schmidt, your Fear the Fro podcast host on this, your hopefully favorite Cavalier podcast. Let's talk about the game this evening, shall we? But let's talk about bigger life lessons. I know the common bond that we all share is that we love the Cavaliers, but there's a second thing which we should all take away from tonight, a lesson that has been imparted on all of us that I'm sure your parents at some point tried to dissuade you of. But I think we can say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that violence is the answer to all of our problems. Because basically, from the moment that Nick Richards, Big Dick Nick, tried to just freewheel his way through the lane in the beginning of the second quarter, and Marcus Morris, observing this, decided to step forth and throw his elbow into the throat of Nick Richards, sending him spiraling to the floor and getting him ejected from the game. From that point forward, everything changed. And the Cavaliers, who shot horribly, they began 1-for-12 from outside the arc. But after Marcus Morris was ejected, it was a night and day difference. This team went 7-for-8 to close the second quarter after Mook got himself heaved.
Get the fuck out!
Now, I thought it was, shining a turd, so to speak, when I saw people say, well, Mook, that's what we needed. But I can't argue with the results. I am nothing if not a complete hypocrite. And while I wanted nothing to do with Marcus Morris, I didn't want him to siphon minutes off Nyang or Wade. If this is the result of violence, well then sign me up. In fact, kick it up a notch. If that's what an elbow to the throat gets, what would happen if you just borrowed one of Brandon Miller's guns? You just started mowing people down. You don't like Grant Williams? Fuck out of here, Grant. Whatever it takes to lead to more prolific cavalanches. The point is, I am flip-flopping as quick as humanly possible here. What I'm realizing is that I was lashing out against a man for being a man, when what I've really needed this whole time was a violence-committing white knight to come and save me. The other day, I realize, longtime Fro listeners are going to say, how the fuck are you still painting this house that you live in? Is all you do paint? In a way, yes. I was painting. I'm down to the final two rooms, guys. The final two rooms. It's taken me the better part of 2 years of living in this home that I'm living in now. But I was trying to paint around a light fixture on the ceiling, and nobody was around. I was on a ladder. I unscrewed this thing. It was so heavy, though, I had nowhere to set it. So I had to try to paint while holding this thing. And I thought to myself, I am not a man. You know who I needed in that moment? I needed Marcus Morris. Not to hold the light fixture, but to find whoever designed a light fixture that seems like it was 75 fucking pounds and then kill them. That's what I needed. Anyway, back to the game. I, Marcus Morris enthusiast as of this moment, am grateful for what transpired with his violence, because while it may have been an incredibly stupid play, it seems to have had a profound impact on the rest of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Here were JB's postgame thoughts.
Marcus, a little old school mentality impacted the game, and, his teammates responded, and we went on a run, following that. But I do think it brought energy to the group. Those types of players who understand the game at that type of level understand how to impact the game in different ways and what, can trigger an eruption. And I think that play did that for us.
I realize people want to keep the tone in a postgame win press conference positive. Nobody's going to pile on Marcus for a play which ultimately worked out in our favor in the end. The secondary lesson I'm taking here tonight is that if I commit an incredibly stupid act of violence, I hope I'm as fortunate as Marcus Morris. If I take my car through the grocery store parking lot and I mow someone down for no apparent reason, I hope to God they're a sex offender. Because that's kind of what it feels like here. It feels like the result allows us to forgive the action. We've now turned Marcus Morris into a galvanizing folk hero, a man who, like a clump of Play-Doh, molded us from, clay vaginas into just rock-solid statues of men who take no shit from no one. But it bears repeating. If George Nyang is going to make everything after it happens, then sure, collapse some tracheas roadhouse style. That's what I did after the Miami game, by the way. I wanted to see somebody get their ass kicked who I wanted to see get their ass kicked. So I watched that to cleanse my palate. So while the Cavaliers sucked balls in the first quarter, made just one of their first 12 three-point attempts. Thank you, Caris LeVert. They were much, much better after Marcus Morris left the game. Now, Marcus started the turn from outside the arc. We began 2 of 16. He hit a triple shortly before being ejected. But then, bang, bang, yang, he hit two in a row. Okoro hit one. Garland hit one. Finally, 7-point lead. We're starting to catch fire. Then we go inside to Allen. Then Yang and Okoro hit a couple more triples. And just like that, the Cavs have made 7 of their last 8 threes attempted in the second quarter, and they lead by 14 points. They were 1 point shy of doubling up the Hornets' output in that second quarter. And by halftime, we had dominated the points in the paint. We were dominating the points off of turnovers. The Hornets only had 2 points off turnovers in that first half. What I loved about this Cavs team was, obviously, the Hornets are a team we should beat, but we could not buy a basket in the first quarter. And Evan and Jarrett kept us tied, essentially. They kept us in this game until we could blow it open by forcing the action into the paint. The Cavaliers scored the first 12 points in the paint before the Hornets even got one. Evan was the story of the second half, but Jared Allen was big to begin this game. He was big in that stretch in the second half, and the two bigs in general. It's been a year where things have not gone in their favor. Certainly not for the dual big construction. People have essentially jumped ship on it. I have held on as long as humanly possible. But even I have to acknowledge that statistically it hasn't seemed to play out in our favor. Tonight, there was an exceptional balance of creating from the high post, of involving them in the offense, even with Darius being the guy, you know, running the offense. That's one of the things that I thought was a noticeable adjustment between last game and this game, is we've seen zone deployed against us, you know, more frequently as of late. Clearly, Charlotte is not Miami. I wouldn't expect it that they would execute it as well, but I did think the Cavs looked to involve the bigs more as a way to alleviate some of that pressure that Darius Garland has been getting on the quick doubles and the traps.
No, it's a little bit of change in what we've been trying to do, and we've been putting the ball in their hands more. And they can work, again, together. They can play big to big, but, you know, the ball in their hands, they're finding our guards more. So just trying to get them involved so we weren't just so pick and roll heavy, so we could run two-sided action with those guys on the floor.
Now, another thing that was painfully apparent is how much better and how much easier the looks got on the interior as soon as some three-point shots started falling. That run at the beginning of the third quarter, after the Cavaliers had really started to light it up from outside the arc, those rim runs, that spacing on the pick and roll, the dump-offs, they were much easier angles, they were much less contested passes, and they gave us some easy baskets, which really allowed us to blow this thing open. Now let's talk about Evan, because the second half was an absolute masterclass for Ev. The third quarter specifically, 11 of his 17 came right out of halftime, and you could tell right from the get-go that Evan Mobley, coming off injuries, is really looking exceptionally aggressive. He was the high water mark in what was an absolute garbage barge full of diarrhea last game. And tonight, fortunately, his production and his contributions led to a win amongst, you know, the other Cavaliers. But just to put into context what he did tonight, in just 25 minutes for him to do 17, 7, and 8, that puts him amongst a club of just 4 men this season, one of which is him, who have achieved that statistical feat. Well, who are the others, you might be asking, Bob? Who has done that level of well-rounded production in just 25 or less minutes? The first is the greatest player of all time, LeBron James. The second is the worst player of all time, Scottie Barnes. And the third is the Bosnian beast, Yusuf Nurkic. So, good company for our boy Ev. And rare air has been achieved. He gave us a little bit of everything tonight. Exceptional ball movement. I love seeing him get out and transition early in the second half and find Isaac Okoro with a decisive, intelligent pass. Obviously, any time that you can put Grant Williams on the floor after he put George Yang on the floor, that is not an easy task. We have seen Yang wall up some big dudes just due to his low, skinny, fat center of gravity that he has. But Grant Williams has basically the same body type, so we saw him truck Yang. It was just delightful watching Evan Mobley put his shoulder right into Grant Williams' sternum and send him spiraling off the court, holding his tum-tum That is exactly what everybody wants to see from Evan. And he's not going to, he won't succeed with that against a lot of bigs in this league. But the important thing is to just keep progressing in that area as he puts on strength and as he becomes a higher priority in the offense. But tonight, that third quarter had to leave you feeling much, much better about Evan than we were after watching what this team has been doing since All-Star break, essentially. Now, before we move into some more macro areas of discussion, we have to acknowledge one other player here. Bang Bang, George Nyang, new entrant into the podcast arena, who has been everywhere. Heard him on the Russillo podcast. He has been a roller coaster ride of three-point efficiency this year. Obviously, the goal was replicate what you did with the Philadelphia 76ers. Give us 15 to 20 minutes a night in the playoffs, knock down 40%. That's worth the $8 million a year. I would feel okay with that, especially since I don't think he's as bad of a defender as I expected him to be. He's not good, don't get me wrong. But considering his build, I would expect him to be even worse. And sometimes he just shows you glimpses of, you know, quick hands, knocking balls off of people. His stout build, to put it kindly, sometimes works in our favor because for whatever he lacks in athleticism and height, he can take bumps. He definitely can do that. And I think he sometimes catches guys off guard with how difficult it is to move him. But his three-point shooting has been erratic at best. 20% in the four-game sample in October, 41% November, 30 in December, 44 January, 33 February, and we're on the upswing yet again, 42% from outside the arc. He really seems to be finding a rhythm. And hopefully, if there's one benefit of the constant injuries, it's that he's basically played with everybody. It seems that he's starting to, I mean, over this stretch, for as much as DG has upped his volume, Nyang, I feel almost as confident with him shooting threes. And that's factoring in that you probably recall the game just recently where George Nyang went like 3 for 11 from outside the arc. Almost every single one of those misses were from the left corner. But if you took that out this month, he would probably be hovering closer to 45, 46% from three. So if we reach the playoffs and he's capable of giving us 15 to 20 serviceable minutes, you have to feel good about his ability to kind of find his way within this offense. I don't know what's going to happen in this balancing act between Mobley, Wade, and Yang when Wade eventually gets back. But I will say, I do think that George has been pretty serviceable here. And while Mook is obviously, he gave us a huge first game and then he largely disappeared, we would see that from Dean from time to time. I feel okay. I feel okay about the depth there, assuming that Evan can stay healthy. I won't dwell much more on this Hornets game because they're objectively terrible. Their guards did not even score. And Brandon Miller was good. I give him credit. But for all of the numbers, the 24 and 8 or whatever he got, it kind of felt like he was the only Hornet even interested in imposing his will on the game. So not to say it's hollow numbers, but certainly I don't envy him being in. I was completely wrong about him, by the way. I didn't think that he would warrant being taken above Scoot. And my goodness, was I wrong. But I did feel like this was just one of those games where I am happy what we saw individually from a lot of our players. But when I look on the other side of the court, I mean, to see a guy like Pokuševski making jump passes off post moves in the block, it's just an very odd roster construction that they're trotting out there at the moment. And certainly, they'll be much better with LaMelo back in the fold, but that backcourt is not intimidating in the least. Let's move on to some macro things, because this has not been a good stretch of Cleveland Cavalier basketball. Tonight was a nice palate cleanser. I've been sitting on a song, which I will play for you at the end of this podcast, a celebratory one, that I've been waiting to roll out until after a win, which was impressive, and honestly, it's felt like I've been sitting on it forever. And that is because all I have been waiting on since All-Star break is some consistent, sustained success, and we haven't been able to string two wins together but one time, and that one singular time at the end of February was only because Max Strus hit a 60-foot buzzer-beating bomb. Aside from that, we've seen a lot of losing. And Donovan's been out of the lineup, and even when he's been, it's been a shell of his former self. Now, it's not just him, although we're 11-12 without Donovan Mitchell. That is concerning. There are mitigating factors. No Max Strus. Dean Wade, one of the unifying factors amongst all of our most productive lineups has been those two guys. Now, generally, I view myself as more optimistic than pessimistic. And I think anyone who listens to this podcast will tell you, the highest highs come after wins, oftentimes in ridiculous, profane fashion. Maybe the highs are too high, off-puttingly so, but when we are terrible, and we were god-awful against the Heat, I'm not going to emotionally gatekeep anyone. If you hate what this team has become in Donovan's absence, go right ahead and do that. If you want to explain why it's not real what we're seeing and we're overreacting, do that too. I'm just going to step back, observe it, and wait for the postseason. Because I gave this fucking thing 70-plus games to just give us a meaningful sample of our full starting unit. And it's quite apparent we're not going to get that. So if I'm going to focus all of my emotions towards something, it's going to be what really matters, which is the playoffs. I would like you all now to join me in a deal with the devil. Lord Satan.
Yes, my son.
Satan, I am willing to sacrifice the following in exchange for a completely healthy Cavaliers roster heading into the playoffs. I will let you choose our opponent. You can pick one as difficult as you like. The New York Knicks, with home court advantage, have at it. The Miami Heat, in the first round, have at it. The Philadelphia 76ers, with Joel Embiid healthy, fine. Ironically, I got tagged on a thread that expressed similar sentiments today. Similar sentiments today, maybe in a more profane way. Somebody accused me of using a burner to post the following. I'm going to read you this post by Seabus King, 614. I really don't give a fuck who we match up with in the playoffs. I feel like our fully healthy squad has a shot to win a series with anybody. But all caps, I want the Knicks.
I want the Knicks.
Why? Because fuck them, that's why. I'm so sick of hearing why this Cavs team doesn't have a shot. The Fro slander. The Spider is leaving. There's no way he resigns. I want to knock them out of here in the first round and have that get back. Is a foundation for a long playoff run straight to the NBA Finals. While that is bold, perhaps bolder than I would put it, I will say, I kind of think I understand him. I think the lows to which we've sunk in this post-All-Star game break, it may take an underdog-style victory against a team people don't expect us to beat, a Knicks team or a Heat team, in order to get the vibes just back to sea level. Where do you think Cavs fans will be at if we topple a Magic team or a Pacers team in the first round and then we get dusted in the second round? Will people even be satisfied, or will they consider that to have been a step back despite the fact that we have a first round win? I really don't know the answer there, but I will say this. You give me this starting lineup together, having gone through this amount of adversity in this regular season, and I will take that and I will trade control over what opponent we face. I'll go on the road. I'll face an opponent we don't want to see early, because in order to prove anything to everyone, we're going to have to go through a team that people respect. And people definitely respect the Knicks and the Miami Heat. While I wouldn't say that that would be my preferred opponent in terms of ease of opponent, it might be the only way in which people view a one-round victory in the playoffs as a sign of progress for this team. My preferred outcome is an NBA title, but the next best outcome is a summer that we can all live with ourselves. Oh my God, I'm sorry. Anyway, what I'm saying is this. Last summer was painful for your Fear the Fro host. Having to listen to Jared Allen dragged for 3 months. I mean, you saw, I fucking vanished. I didn't even do a pod until the NBA draft because I was just sick of the discourse. I don't want that this summer. And if it gets to that point again, I'm going to roll Mook out there, start slugging you in the face, and wait for the three-pointers to fall, because violence leads to positive results. That's what I learned tonight. So go forth, Cavalier fans. Now, before I get out of here, I'm going to play you a song. So the nice thing is, even in a season where there's been some extremely high highs and some extremely low lows, good things come from this Fear the Fro podcast. One of those is that you know, if you've listened for any amount of time, that I like to make songs periodically. And through this podcast, I met a man by the name of Sammy T. who records music himself. He is a Cavalier fan. Grew up in Pittsburgh, relocated to Turkey. He's over there. Now, the only time I hear about people going to Turkey is to get hair plugs. But Sammy went over there for God knows what reason. In my mind, he's a gun runner, something of that effect. But he's a nice man. And he came to me and said, hey, do you want to do a song together? Would you do a verse on my song? And I said, for you, Sammy T, I will. And then I'll play it on a podcast after we've won. So hopefully somebody hears it. So today, I leave you with the cleanest anthem to ever have been aired on the Fear the Fro podcast. And if you like what you heard, throw Sammy a follow. I will link him on the whenever I plug this podcast on Twitter.
Rest in peace to Amy Teal, Nick Gilbert, Fred McLeod, and all the other Cavs fans watching down on us. This is a Fear the Fro production.
Fear it!
Cavs fans, this is for you.
Cavs win! Cavaliers win it!
Been to hell, made it back, what you know about that? Round the globe, rep the land, put it on the map. Ayy, ups and downs, win or lose, we still love the Cavs. Sammy T and Bob Schmidt, let them know we back. I'm in my bag, back in this ish, like DG, like D Mitch. Pump face, I step, pull up, swish, nothing but net, how we gon' hit? Ayy, forget your little team, who you came here with. When I cross these cats, call me Darius. Great one, king of the Achaemenids. Cavs Empire, Cleveland to China, ball like Spider. Bird to Beirut, New York to Nairobi. I'm on the block, blocking shots like Mobley. Ice pick you up, you gonna shut your water off. We don't never back down from a challenge, cause on the off chance that I do get beat, I'ma lead him straight to Jay Allen, yeah. Welcome to the Tower City. Struce on the loose and the three look pretty. Ball stays sipping and the D look gritty. Where the JB, we gon' lead this city. Yeah, we gon' lead this city. And we gon' do this 1 foot Dan. Ring number two, all part of God's plans. When I get my chance, I'ma shoot it like Sam. Shoot it like damn. Load up the barrel and shoot it like Merrill. Came from the bird but got cast my apparel. Bleed wine and gold, deep in the rock like I'm finally home. Big J to the A, yeah, you best fit a fro. Ain't no 2-3, baby, I'm in the zone. Take it straight to the bank that we taking the throne. Rocket mortgage if you need you alone. Get you alone. Cavaliers coming, go let them know. Straight down Euclid when we drive to the hole. Larry OB, we gon' take the chip home. Take the ship home. Cavaliers coming, go let them know. Straight down Euclid how we drive to the hole. Larry OB, we gon' take the chip home. Been to hell, made it back. What you know about that? Round the globe, rep the land, put it on the map, yeah. Ups and downs, win or lose, we still love the Cavs. Sammy T and B. Schmidt, let them know we back.
Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, setting the table. Gather round my Cavalier fans as I deliver an underdog fable. Catching the kick out,
ready and able,
firing threes,
shaking off labels,
rising up to the top of the stable. Vindication level,
fully enabled.
Driving down the lane, Mobley going berserk. Dunk to Dom, rim denied, beware of the lurk. Think you got a lane to the rim.
Here comes the herd.
Mobley's putting in that all world work.
Sam, Dean, Isaac, Karras, George C. PJ.
Think you scare us?
Soon enough, you'll learn to fear us. Nobody can clear us. Lights too bright? Not tonight.
Nope.
I'll show you the fear.
Wine and gold in our blood.
Fear!
All right. I'll see you guys next game. Thank you for listening to the Fear the Fro podcast.